Another edition of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner. I'm very angry tonight, extremely upset. I'm just so angry. I shouldn't have even showed up tonight. Here we see something from James Lee Witt, listeners. Dennis the Menace doing a tremendous job on the website AmericanExposé.com. Where would we be without Dennis and Missouri listeners? In the dark in many respects. Hundreds of thousands of residents jammed the highways to get out of Hurricane Katrina's path, which included 145-mile-per-hour wind gusts and storm surges of more than 20 feet. That was just the beginning. According to James Lee Witt, listeners, local, state, and federal resources were mobilized as one of the most powerful hurricanes in history made landfall along the Gulf Coast regions of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. During my years as the director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, I witnessed the incredible abilities and dedication of our nation's emergency response personnel, of which we have the best trained and best equipped possible. Despite their skills, ability, and technology, we must do more to be more prepared and protected in the case of such a catastrophe, listeners, according to James Lee Witt, former head of FEMA. Our financial recovery mechanisms, what financial recovery mechanisms, listeners? Federal Reserve debt note dollars, which rely primarily on the private insurance market, federal assistance in the form of low interest loans, and a handful of state catastrophe funds need to be retooled so that they are capable of meeting the immeasurable cost of a catastrophe. Conservative estimates indicate that the cost of recovery from Hurricane Katrina will rival any natural catastrophe we have experienced in the USA. Initial predictions indicate that recovery costs could surpass the $30 billion cost of recovering from the attacks of September 11, 2001. The September 11th attacks of 2001. Who did the attacks on September 11, 2001? A replay of any of our previous natural catastrophes will result in similarly astounding costs. There's the point, listeners. James Lee Witt. He goes on and on and on. A 1938 hurricane, the Long Island Express, missed Manhattan by only a few miles and caused $308 million in damage. A replay of that storm today is projected to have a recovery cost of $24 billion in Suffolk County alone. If the 1906 San Francisco earthquake happened at the same spot as it did a century ago, damages were estimated to exceed $400 billion. Could Nikola Tesla make earthquakes happen in 1906? I don't know. Nikola Tesla was way ahead of his time. He made Albert Einstein look like Mickey Mouse as far as intelligence. Nikola Tesla was way ahead of the world. Nikola Tesla was a genius. From a financial standpoint, state and federal catastrophe funds provide a necessary backstop for families, businesses, and communities in the case of extraordinary events. Florida has funds in place to deal with hurricanes. California has such funds for earthquakes. New York is considering a similar fund as well. Policymakers in other disaster-prone states should follow their example. States can move faster than the federal government, and they should move now. Where's the money going to come from, listeners? As the funds to dumb down our children are exceedingly high in every state of the union, according to provided by the NEA, government control of education, listeners. Mr. Witt says, on the other hand, catastrophes are not a state-by-state problem. Hurricanes that hit North Carolina can wreak havoc on New England. Earthquakes in California can cause damage well into the Pacific Northwest. A national solution is every bit as important as the steps being taken in the states. Steps to be taken include a national catastrophe fund that would shore up private insurers in instances when truly catastrophic events occur. Such a fund would be a financially responsible way to ensure the viability of the private market and its ability to provide coverage to families, businesses, and communities. And Mr. James Lee Witt is once again the CEO and chairman of James Lee Witt Associates, a public safety and crisis management consulting firm. And he served as director of FEMA from 93 to 2001. And now he's been hired by Louisiana to help advise the governor of Louisiana. And she's the one that did not want to federalize her state troops. My, my. Isn't this just amazing? We can't afford not to plan for catastrophes, by James Lee Witt. And yet, weather engineering is a fact. And yet, people like myself are considered terrorists. As I repeat, once again, and I don't think I'll ever stop repeating this, from the Federal Bureau of Investigation, their website, testimony of Robert Mueller, he's the director, to the Senate Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, February 16th of this year. And once again, he talks about the fact that over the past year, through unprecedented cooperation, enhanced intelligence capabilities, and continued unwavering commitment to protect the American people, we have achieved considerable victories against national security and criminal threats facing the U.S. However, I must also report that these threats continue to evolve and to pose new challenges to the FBI and our partners. What are our partners? MGTF, Multi-Jurisdictional Task Force, NATO, UN. That's the partner of the UN system. It remains the FBI's overriding priority to predict and prevent terrorist attacks. The threat posed by international terrorism, and in particular from Al-Qaeda and related groups, continues to be the gravest we face. And once again, Al-Qaeda, according to Hansa Molina and others, is certainly backed by Russia. I may never hear from him again after the way we went at it the other day. But his feeling is we're going to get nuked. Maybe so. My feeling is the communist plan is already well in place. It's already structured. The 45 communist goals are in place and implemented. Whether they nuke us or not, it makes no difference. The end result is the same. We can be taken over without firing a shot, listeners. The implementation of Agenda 21 throughout the world is well underway, well engineered, well chronicled and documented. So, back to this FBI congressional testimony. However, right-wing patriot movement, that's the right-wing patriot movement, the right-wing patriot. Am I a right-wing patriot? I don't consider myself a right-wing patriot. I consider someone that wants to restore freedom, wants to restore a constitutional republic that we've never, ever lived under. I want freedom for mankind. I'm tired of the bloodshed. I'm tired of the wars. I'm tired of people accepting their Congressional Medal of Honor being an upside-down five-pointed star Lucifer's symbol. When you do your research, that is what the upside-down five-pointed star is. So he says, however, the right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat to America today. Sporadic incidents resulting in direct clashes with law enforcement are possible and will most likely involve state and local law enforcement personnel, such as highway patrol officers and sheriff's deputies. He also says potential potential violent anti-abortion extremists linked to terrorism ideologies or groups pose a current threat. The admiration of violent high-profile offenders by extremists highlight continued concerns relating to potential or similar anti-abortion threat activity. So the FBI condones abortion, our country condones abortion, and yet militias is a bad thing. The word militia has been vilified all over the globe in the press. Militia comes from our country. Militia is for our country. Anyone who is the age of 17 and 45 is a member of the militia, according to the U.S. Code. Common law courts? Common law is what we need to get back to. Check out the Bar Treaty of 1947, listeners. And tax protesters. Well, why not? Let's protest being raped by the Federal Reserve System and the IMF, of which the IRS works for. We're paying to destroy ourselves. That's what we're doing. We're paying to destroy ourselves, listeners. The beat goes on, people. They talk about tax protesters, and certainly that is a joke. Everyone should be protesting the high cost of taxation. Don't pay your property taxes, lose everything you have. And then they say other anti-government extremists. Am I an anti-government extremist? That is my label. I'm an anti-government extremist. I'm an anti-corrupt government that is dealing with a one-world direction to totalitarianize us into communism. And I'm angry. I am so mad. I've been so mad since this afternoon. And I know why. And I'm not going to tell you. But everything compounded upon everything else is what's made me so angry tonight. And I'm really angry. I'm very angry. The other night we were covering the transition to the communitarian system. It's a weekly worker paper of the Communist Party of Great Britain, listeners. It's on the archives at First Amendment Radio. Then I covered the other day information from the U.S. Department of State. The Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration. And what do they say? Reflecting the best humanitarian traditions of the American people, the U.S. government funds protection and self-sustaining relief for millions of refugees and victims of conflict around the globe. The U.S. government funds protection and life-sustaining relief for millions of refugees and victims of conflict around the globe. Now, where's this conflict coming from? Where's drought inducement coming from? If they can make it rain, they can make it drought. The United States also admits tens of thousands of refugees annually for permanent resettlement. The United States also admits tens of thousands of refugees annually for permanent resettlement. The Bureau of Population, Refugees, and Migration, the PRM, headed by Acting Assistant Secretary Richard Green, is central to these efforts. Within the government, PRM has primary responsibility for formulating policies on population, refugees, and migration, and for administering U.S. refugee assistance and admissions programs. What do we have now? Publicly, publicized, immediately after it happens, refugees in America. Dennis has chronicled and documented what a refugee is. The beat goes on, people. We are in a setup scenario. Many of you know this. We need to put this right on the front page, Darren. And he's probably not able to listen. One who flees from invasion, persecution, or political danger, according to Funk and Wagnalls, 1972. One who flees from invasion, persecution, or political danger. I'm mad. Yeah, I'm mad. You have the Bureau of Arms Control from the State Department. Ultimately, we are to be disarmed one way or the other. All of these victims of this latest created crisis are being disarmed, have been disarmed. We'll never see most of their possessions ever again. We'll have car and truck payments that they can never drive. This will devastate, well, I guess it'll devastate the banks, won't it? They can afford it, I suppose. The Bureau of Arms Control is quite amazing from the State Department. Then we get back into migration. There are more than 175 million migrants in the world today. 175 million migrants in the world today, listeners. People leave their countries for many reasons, including war and civil conflict, the desire for economic improvement, family reunification, and environmental degradation. The United States supports safe, orderly, and legal migration. Our policy on international migration focuses on the human rights of migrants, protection of asylum seekers, opposition to uncontrolled and illegal migration, support for anti-trafficking efforts, and encouragement of the rapid integration of legal immigrants. Opposition to uncontrolled illegal immigration or illegal migration? I see. What's been happening at the border to allow the governor of Arizona and New Mexico to declare a state of national emergency before the state of national emergency came into place officially as a result of Katrina, people. In the meantime, what do you have from the State Department, people? Quote, we believe sustainable development begins at home and is supported by effective domestic policies and international partnerships. Self-governing people prepared to participate in an open world marketplace are the very foundation of sustainable development. President Bush has emphasized that the hopes of all people, no matter where they live, lie in greater political and economic freedom, the rule of law, and good governance. And that's a quote from the State Department's website on sustainable development. There's a World Summit on Sustainable Development, August 26th through September 4th of 2002 in Johannesburg, South Africa. I was not on the air at the time, so nobody knew about it. That was listening. No one knew about it. So what do we see here? Dated September 4th out of Brussels, Belgium, the United States has asked the European Union, has asked the European Union and NATO for emergency assistance, requesting blankets, first aid kits, water trucks, and food for the victims of Hurricane Katrina, the two organizations said Sunday. Once again, what do we have? Our military in 135 countries, or thereabouts, plus or minus one or two or three or four. Military presence all over the globe for the United Nations system. So all our infrastructure is gone. military infrastructure is gone. So this article continues with EU Environment Commissioner Stavros Dimas said the 25-nation bloc was, quote, ready to contribute to the U.S. efforts aimed at alleviating the humanitarian crisis, end quote, in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, the states hardest hit by Katrina. The 26-nation NATO alliance said it, too, had received a request for aid from Washington. The United States has asked for NATO relief support in the form of food rations for the thousands of people evacuated from New Orleans and other areas, the alliance said in a statement. So, okay, we asked for help September 4th. And then we see here, U.S. accepts U.N. offer to rush aid to victims of Hurricane Katrina. Now, NATO is part of the U.N. The European Union is part of the U.N. The U.S. is part of the U.N. United Nations announced today, September 4th, the same date, that the United States government has accepted the world body's offer to help in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. Why would they want to do that? Somewhere in here, the UN wants $845 billion from this country. That's right, the UN wants $845 billion from this country, according to Cliff Kincaid. And there's so much tremendous information on the website, I can't search it out right this minute. But the small UN coordination team is in Washington now, consulting with government officials on how the UN can best complement the U.S.'s own emergency efforts. In the meantime, according to the Washington Times, listeners, governments spearheaded by Brazil, China, India, Russia, and Saudi Arabia are trying to place the Internet under the control of the United Nations or its member governments, a move that the United States and other developed countries are determined to resist. This is according to the Washington Times, John Zarauskas. And I don't see a date here. Okay, this is back in, apparently, November 18th, 2003. The issue has cropped up in preparatory talks for a world summit on the Information Society to be held December 10th through the 12th in Geneva, with the stated goal of advancing the management and worldwide use of the Internet, especially in poorer countries. UN group seeks control of the Internet. Well, we've talked about that in the past. We've covered that in the past. But it's very relevant today, people. Very relevant today. We are being set up in a monumental way, people. Here we see frustrated fire crews hand out flyers for FEMA. Dated the 6th of this month. Out of Atlanta, not long after some 1,000 firefighters sat down for 8 hours of training, the whispering began. What are we doing here? As New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin pleaded on national television for firefighters. His own are exhausted after working around the clock for a week. A battalion of highly trained men and women sat idle Sunday in a muggy Sheraton Hotel conference room in Atlanta. Many of the firefighters assembled from Utah and throughout the United States by the Federal Emergency Management Agency thought they were going to be deployed as emergency workers. Instead, they have learned that they are going to be community relations officers for FEMA. Stuffled throughout the Gulf Coast region to disseminate flyers and a phone number. They're going to be community relations officers for FEMA, people. 1,000 firefighters. On Monday, some firefighters stuck in the staging area at the Sheraton peeled off their FEMA-issued shirts and stuffed them in backpacks, saying they refused to represent the federal agency. Hear, hear for them. This is insanity at its greatest time in history right now. We are in insane times right now. Totally insane. And yet everybody goes about and says, oh, let's bring some of these families into our home. Let's bring some of these poor families into our home. Even though they can't afford to survive themselves, they're going to bring poor families into their home under the created crisis of Katrina. The levees had to have been imploded. Had to have been. Even so, they did not fix them. They did not repair them. They did not build them up. They did not support the structure. So they have the excuse that the levees collapsed, even though they've been holding all this time. Keep in mind, New Orleans is sinking. The article from Popular Mechanics, September 11, 2001. Can you believe how insane this has become? Is that a coincidence? So these firefighters are handing out flyers for FEMA. Federal officials are unapologetic. Quote, I would go back and ask the firefighter to resist, to revisit his commitment to FEMA, to firefighting, and to the citizens of this country, end quote, said FEMA spokeswoman Mary Hudak. I've received a lot of information about many of these women in positions of prominence today that is part of Agenda 21, one of those chapters, are lesbians. I received a lot of information about this. They're dykes. They're lesbians. They hate men. People, we are in it. We are being nailed to the wall. Strengthening the role of major groups. Chapter 24, Global Action for Women Towards Sustainable and Equitable Development. Many women in positions of prominence. They're going to do a new show on ABC that's going to be promoting a woman as the President of the United States. Can you believe that? What are we getting ready for next?
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil, or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Pokerface. Pokerface.com is their website. Pokerface.com, people. All right. Pokerface.com is the website, people. Weather modification. Rainmaking efforts began in the early 1890s, when Army units, recalling that in the civil bombardments often had followed by rain. I can't cover this. It's blocked off. I printed it out and we lost most of it. That's from the Handbooks of Texas Online, and I cannot cover it. Well, let's do this. Let's go to itwillpass.com, Dennis's stuff. The deluge, and let's go back 11 years, people. The deluge that inundated Georgia, Alabama, and Florida in July 1994 is, quote, a flood that might happen once in 500 years, end quote, reported the July 9th, 1994 New York Times. Unlike a regular storm that keeps moving, this monster came ashore and parked in the same area for many days. Quote, the storm was kept in place largely by a Bermuda high-pressure system over the Atlantic, which was part of a subtropical band of high-pressure systems girding the globe. Other parts of the band caused northern India and then the American Southwest to broil in temperatures of 120 degrees and more last month. Extremes of weather have become more common around the world in the last decade, but scientists are at a loss to explain why, end quote. Once again, New York Times, July 10th, 1994. This long-standing weather-blocking systems are the direct product of giant standing ELF, which is extremely low-frequency waves, that are caused by Russian and U.S. global weather engineering that began in 1976 and greatly expanded in the 1980s. Russian and U.S. global weather engineering. That's because we're both at the Security Council of the UN. Russia and the U.S. New York Times, May 24th, 1994. Quote, the extreme weather of the past 2 years in North America is part of a worldwide pattern. Scientists say that they are searching hard for an explanation. The United States has suffered through an extra cold summer that chilled the Northeast in 1992. Hurricane Andrew in August 1992, the most destructive American hurricane ever. The East Coast storm of the century in March 1993. The devastating flooding in the upper Midwest last summer. And the seemingly unending snows of the early 1994 in the Northeast. accompanied by record warmth in the West. End quote. Another quote, all are part of a global pattern of sharper climatic swings over about the last decade by climatologists. Around the world, the 1980s and early 1990s were remarkable for the frequency and intensity of extremes of weather and climate, end quote. Once again, New York Times, May 24th, 94. Insurance statistics demonstrate the devastation created by the combined effects of Soviet and U.S. weather engineering. There are only 8 catastrophic windstorms worldwide in the 1960s. By the 1980s, that figure had climbed to 29. 29. See how it's being worked and manipulated, listeners? We are being financially devastated. We are being raped financially. And now we're being encouraged to take in poor families from the South into our homes where we can't even afford to support our own families. Oh, man. Starting in the late 1960s, U.S. and Soviet scientists began a series of joint efforts to warm up the Arctic. This is documented in the Lowell Ponte's 1976 book, The Cooling. At the 1974 Vladivostok Summit, U.S. and Soviet leaders concluded a secret agreement designed to promote global warming. A secret agreement designed to promote global warming, listeners. On July 4, 1976, the Soviet Woodpecker ELF system began weather engineering operations. By the late 1970s, the United States joined in by transmitting its own weather-modifying ELF signals. To improve joint electromagnetic weather control actions, the U.S. has just brought a number of Russian scientists to work at the top-secret Lawrence Livermore high-tech weapons laboratory. The real purpose of this new joint Russian-U.S. project is being kept secret from the American people. It is officially disguised as environmental cleanup research. And that's a quote. Environmental cleanup research, end quote. The plan to use Russian technology was described in the April 8, 1993 Journal of Commerce and Commercial Bulletin. Quote, during the Cold War, in a research laboratory in the closed city of Gorky, Russian military scientists developed the Gyrotron, a high-energy microwave generator designed to sweep the sky of Western warplanes, end quote. This description is identical to some functions of Soviet Tesla scalar weapons. Quote, today at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, American military scientists are weighing a Russian proposal to use those generators for a new mission, cleansing the atmosphere of ozone-destroying chemicals. Oh, really? The Livermore scientists began collaborating with their Russian counterparts last year, traveling to Russian research centers, engaging in joint projects, end quote. Quote, a technique to clean up the atmosphere could offer just such an opportunity. The proposal comes from Soliton Company Limited, a Russian corporation formed to convert and commercialize Soviet science and defense technology, end quote. The name of the Russian corporation, that Russian corporation, offers a key clue as to the real nature of the proposed project. Solitons are a concept in physics for fields that demonstrate prolonged existence. The giant standing waves that are created by the Russian Tesla magnifying transmitters. Quote, some of the Russian science and Soliton company has to offer is very much the state of the art. Andrei Tulipov, a Russian weapons researcher and a Soliton company official, recently spent a week briefing Livermore scientists on a number of possible research projects, including using microwave radiation to eliminate chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs, an artificial chemical suspected of damaging the Earth's protective layer. Developing their high-powered microwave equipment, the Russian scientists discovered the beams destroyed chlorofluorocarbons, molecules. End quote. The new HAARP weather engineering system, now under construction in Alaska, will have among its numerous functions the clear capacity to zap pollution, and will also be able to increase or decrease upper atmospheric ozone levels at will. The January 11, 1994 edition of Tulsa World provided additional evidence about the presence of the Russians at Livermore. The Lawrence Livermore Laboratory has a secret 21-member Project Woodpecker team that just won a special award from the CIA and the National Security Agency. Since the late 1970s, the meaning of the term woodpecker has had been well known to radio operators all over the world, because the primary mission of the U.S. or the NSA is to intercept radio signals from around in every foreign nation. That super secret organization is fully aware of the term woodpecker. Specifically, it refers to Russian woodpecker Tesla magnifying transmitters that are used for weather engineering. Thus, the Tesla award to the Livermore Lab provides even more evidence that the U.S. and Russian governments are engaged in creating state-of-the-art improvements on their secret joint global weather modification systems. The U.S. government is now building a mammoth electromagnetic weather engineering system that is based upon the design of physicist Dr. Bernard Eastland. August 11, 1987, the Eastland invention was issued patent number 4686605. The patent was assigned to APTI Incorporated, a subsidiary of Eastland's then employer, the Atlantic Richfield Oil Company, ARCO. On September 6, 1987, the National Public Radio reported, quote, Dr. Eastland stated that his new invention will be used to change the weather by redirecting the very high wind patterns. The invention uses an Earth-based power source to create electromagnetic radio waves and focus them way up into the atmosphere. Dr. Eastland says the invention could steer the jet stream, but could also be used to disrupt communications all over the world. End quote. On the front page of the 1987 patent, there are direct references to the February 1935 Liberty Magazine article about Tesla, and that's Nikola Tesla, plus references to other Tesla articles in the December 8, 1915 New York Times and September 22, 1940 New York Times. The 1987 patent states, quote, large regions of the atmosphere could be lifted to an unexpected high altitude. Weather modification is possible by, for example, altering the upper atmosphere wind patterns, end quote. Which is exactly what the Russian woodpecker ELF system does. The March 1988 Omni magazine carried an article about Dr. Eastland's invention, quote, as he did his computations, Eastland realized that the amount of energy he was dealing with was enormous. He calculated that once the radio waves reached the ionosphere, they would interact powerfully with the charged particles trapped there. The result would be a magnetic phenomenon known as the mirror force. Essentially what would happen is that a huge section of the charged atmosphere would be pushed upward and outward from Earth by its electromagnetic force. You can, says Estlin, virtually lift part of the upper atmosphere, end quote. Quote, Estlin also says you could construct plumes of atmospheric particles to act as a lens or focusing device for sunlight. By being able to intensify and control light, one could heat a specific part of the Earth and learn to manipulate local wind patterns, end quote. Quote, what this means, he says, is that by controlling local weather patterns, one could, say, bring rain to Ethiopia or alter the summer storm pattern in the Caribbean, end quote. As just demonstrated in the July 1994 Gulf storm that stood in place and flooded Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, listeners. Because of the publicity about these aspects of the Estlund ARCO patent, the U.S. government suppressed all further news about the invention's weather engineering features. Since about 1989, the invention has been disguised as a device for conducting atmospheric research. So what are we dealing now with this latest engineered catastrophe? What are we dealing with? Implementation of the Biodiversity Treaty and Agenda 21. That's what it's all about, people. That's what's going on right now. We're being set up with a weather war. We're being maneuvered and manipulated on a daily basis. We're having to accept things that we wouldn't normally have to accept, except that we're in a war. It's a quiet war. It's a silent war. Using silent weapons. Devastating. Devastating civilizations. Our civilization over here is devastated. The civilization in the Middle East is devastated. The civilization in communist China is devastated. The civilization in Russia is devastated. The civilization in Cuba is devastated. The civilization in Vietnam is devastated. We're set up. This is nothing that's predicted unless it was meant to predict. This is engineered by mankind. This is been done, because the human race has to be corralled and given its yoke in life, with no middle class, no ability to drive, no ability to have your own source of income, no ability to have your own free way of living, no ability to eat meat. Everyone will be a vegetation or a vegetarian, eating vegetation that they grow in their own sustainable community. There will be no trucks delivering food in the future. Food will be rationed in the future. All of these refugees, quote-unquote refugees, you might as well use the UN lingo because they're using it now. They will all be microchipped. They will all be assimilated into society today. Then outbreaks of sickness will be publicized. Outbreaks of illness will be publicized. And the implementation of the State Model Emergency Health Powers Act will be brought into place, demanding everyone be vaccinated. And before you can go purchase food, you will have your vaccination certificate up to date. And the food will be rationed. This is what we're implementing and what's being implemented at us and on us today. This is what's going on. Dr. Eastland's invention has been incorporated into the mammoth U.S. government project titled, you've heard it, HARP, the High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program. And according to this information, fortunately, a hard-working environmental group, the Cook Inlet Vigil, has uncovered shocking details about the severe dangers posed by this new Earth ionospheric zapping system. The December 15, 1991 Alaska Daily News carried a big article on HAARP. Quote, electromagnetic energy floats high over Alaska, where it is visible as the aurora borealis, a shimmering white, green, and crimson curtain. These brilliant northern lights are, in fact, the product of a huge natural generator that produces up to 10 million megawatts of power as particles from the solar wind crash into the Earth's magnetic field. There are concentrated currents called electrojets that flow in the ionosphere and may sometimes reach millions of amperes. When the electrojet touches Earth, it is sometimes, as it sometimes does during magnetic storms, it can knock out telephone cables and power grids, end quote. The newspaper reported that researchers from the University of Alaska, UCLA, that's University of California, Los Angeles, listeners, and Penn State all engaged in pre-HAARP work. Quote, the scientists had achieved some promising results by beaming energy into the ionosphere to create extremely low-frequency ELF waves that can travel long distances and to great depths, end quote. Describing the HAARP system now being constructed north of Valdez, Alaska, in November 15, 1993, Anchorage Daily News reported that the government, quote, has settled on the Copper Valley village of Gakona as a spot for its $175 million research project on the ionosphere, the last layer of air between the Earth and outer space, end quote. Quote, HAARP will build on the site of the partially completed over-the-horizon radar backscatter project, end quote. One of the numerous functions of the Russian woodpecker ELF transmitters is over-the-horizon radar. Quote, the HAARP project will be a 30-acre field of antennas that beam powerful radio signals into the upper atmosphere, end quote. It's a war. It's an engineered war. But the whole design is to devastate us and the world, the population of the world. There's much more to this. Much more. Tremendous research by Dennis. But in the meantime, what do we have going on the surface, and yet most people don't have a clue about it? We see San Francisco mayor proclaims urban environmental movement. Mayors from around the globe took the historic step to signing the Urban Environmental Accords on June 5, 2005, in the rotunda of the San Francisco City Hall in recognition of United Nations World Environment Day 2005. The San Francisco mayor, Gavin Newsom, said what we have accomplished here will change the world. What we have accomplished here will change the world. Quote, what we started here is only the beginning, the start of a new way of thinking about our Earth, and the start of a new global environmental grassroots movement focused on cities, end quote, the mayor stressed. Insanity at its greatest that most people have no clue about, that don't do any research, that are watching football right now, or the news feeds on the latest engineered catastrophe. I don't know whether we can say anything that's happened has been a natural disaster. The Oklahoma City bombing, September 11, 2001, Pearl Harbor, the Gulf of Tonkin, and according to this information from City Mayor's Environment listeners, in 1945, the original 50 founding delegates signed the UN Charter in San Francisco. Quote, today Mayor Newsom has brought together 50 of the largest and most visionary cities on the planet to chart a new and bold course towards urban environmental sustainability, end quote, said Jerem Blumenfeld, director of the San Francisco Environment Department. Listeners, there's so much going on, and it's all a setup. Our troops all over the world, for the UN system, Secretary of the Treasury, U.S. Governor of the IMF, World Bank, our military is all over the globe, so we have to call in UN help. So countries are coming to help us, listeners. Countries are coming to our rescue under the guise of the UN system, and we are the UN system. The State Department has the U.S. mission to the United Nations. There's where the documentation lies. It's a setup. And I'm just as mad right now as I was this afternoon, as I was before the start of this show. I'm very, very angry. And you should be very angry as well if you do the research. You should be so angry. Because you've been lied to, you've been deceived, you've been manipulated. It's a setup, listeners. It's a gigantic setup. I can't do any more tonight. Good night.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit Discount.